Here at All Things Considered, we like to think that recorded sound can take you to another place. You turn on the radio, and suddenly you're standing beside our correspondent in Kabul or driving across the plains of Texas. But even when you're accustomed to the power of sound, it is startling to meet Joe Bassard, who plays old records that take you back in time.
Trouble every morning, trouble every night, most folks worry every day.
Joe Bassard is one of the nation's leading collectors of old recordings from 50, 60, or even 100 years ago. He mostly collects 78s, black shellac discs that can feel as thick and heavy as a lunch plate. He preserves American music that might otherwise have disappeared, and some of his greatest finds are collected on a CD that was issued earlier this year.
I've got the blues. Since my sweetie turned me down.
Bassard keeps most of his treasure in his basement near Frederick, Maryland. We're about to visit there, though I have to warn you that it's easier to get in this basement than it is to leave.
Got a few records here that we can play. A
couple of records, yeah.
Wow.
It's
about 25,000 78s, maybe 3,000 LPs, maybe 1,545s, mostly bluegrass. This section here is all jazz. This middle section is all blues. And the rest of it all up there at the end is early country string bands.
We're looking at shelves that go from one end of the basement to the other, from the floor to the ceiling, and also extend over a little bit of the side
wall. Yeah, and there's a shelf around on the other side of here, too, that's full, right around the corner there. And I got more upstairs.
Do you have any kind of system here? Are these alphabetized or anything?
There it is. I know. I got them all memorized. You know, I know where everything is, just about. I mean, if it's a real outstanding record, I can walk right there and pull it out first. Hey, you want to play some music?
As if we had a choice. Of course he's going to put some of these ancient records on a turntable so we can listen through a gigantic brown speaker cabinet in the corner.
Here's Turn Your Radio On, the Blue Sky Boys, as of Monona Records. About 1940 this was released.
When the needle hits the groove, Joe Bassard can barely keep from singing. His gray hair shows his 67 years, but his face wears the joyful expression of a child.
Come listening to radio station, where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
That's country music.
Turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion,
I got one by them. I guarantee if I played it, you'd be crying. I can't even listen to it. My eyes just water over.
These singers are brothers who started performing as teenagers. And as long as this old record plays, the Blue Sky Boys will always be boys. We're not in 2003 anymore. It's the middle of the Great Depression, and the Blue Sky Boys are standing on the top floor of the Charlotte Hotel in North Carolina, where RCA has a recording studio. And on this day, as the teenagers lean into the microphone, there's an even younger boy growing up in Maryland, who will fall in love with the music he hears when he turns the crank on the side of his Victrola record player.
I have my dad's little wind-up Victrola. In fact, I still got the Victrola over here and it still plays.
This is the same one you had when you were a kid?
Yeah. They're indestructible. All they do is tear your records up. Here we go. This is the way it was.
If you don't believe I'm thinking,
look what a hole I'm in.
If you don't believe I'm thinking, you look what a hole I am in. If you don't believe I love you, you look what a fool I've been.
How do you think your life would be different if you had not devoted it to this basement and this collection?
That's a good question. I wouldn't know how to answer that. I probably would have gone in some other direction. You know, I could have been born later in like rock and roll. You know, I just could never get in with that stuff. And when I was 16 years old and I heard this stuff, to me it was stuff for kindergarten kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just didn't click with me. What clicked with me was Jimmy Rogers. That's who really started me. Mm-hmm. I was like a bomb, boom. I wanted his record so bad. And I went to the record store in 1947. No, we don't have any Jimmy Rogers records. Of course, at that time, I didn't know that Victor had discontinued all that stuff 2 years earlier. They took the Bluebird label and done away with it. So I went around town, and I asked people, and this lady gave me a box of records, and there were two Jimmy Rogers in there. God, that had a fit.
That was the start of a record collection that became Joe Bissart's hobby and his obsession and his only job. He financed a lifetime of collecting by selling the family farm supply store when he was a young man. He added to that income by selling tapes of old recordings. He created one of the country's great collections, one that he'd like to leave to his son-in-law, though he says money is growing tight. Bissart says he might eventually have to sell some of the records that he harvested during 4 decades of driving through Appalachia.
Oh, heavens. Most of these records you see here, I got them beat in the backwoods. You know, house to house, gap to gap, holler to holler. Met all kinds of people you wouldn't believe. All kinds of stories, all kind of blabbing bang places where they wasn't even a road. I was over West Virginia one time hunting. It was a bad 2 days, weren't turning up anything, and there was an old house sitting along the road. I love these houses. It had the coffee can sitting in the window, rusty with flowers in them and a little lace curtain. So I knocked on the door, and the lady said, yeah, I have a few records. We walked around the side of the house, and I found Jimmy Watson's Catfish String Band. It's a nice band. It's kind of boom, 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 like that, you know.
Yeah.
But she says, you see that dirt road? I said, yeah. She said, it's his first house on the right. He's got records. But don't you dare tell him I told you. It's like a big secret. So we went down there, and about a mile, and here was this old stone house set way down in the hollow, and the smoke was kind of hanging in the hollow, you know, from the old stone chimney, and it had all been logged off. There wasn't a tree anywhere. It was all tree stumps. And we pulled up in front of the house. This big fellow come out with big bib overalls on. Howdy, boys! I knew he was going to have a good time. Come on in and light a while. So we went in, and I got on the subject of records. Oh, I got gangs of them. He kept bringing these boxes of Montgomery Ward records down the steps, one after another. Some had never been opened. And when I went through them, it was like 7171 or 7071, 7072, 345, right down the line. I said, where'd you get these?
He had the whole series. You're looking at serial
everything.
Numbers.
He said, well, I got snowed in 1 year. Didn't have nothing to do, so I ordered every Montgomery Ward record out of the catalog. He got them 9 cents a piece.
Wow.
I got them all. I said, what do you want for? He said, give me $20. So I took them all.
How many records?
Oh, hundreds of them. Brand new.
Less than nine cents a piece.
Oh, I was in seventh heaven.
A lot of times when you're paying somebody $20 or $100, there's one record in that stack that might be worth thousands of
dollars. Oh, these were all top-notch stuff. All these records were.
You ever feel guilty about that?
Well, back then, they weren't worth anything. I just happened to like kind of music later on was records that were, you know, kind of worth money.
Yeah. Is there a record you've got here that is the only known good copy of it?
Yeah. Long Cleve Reed, Papa Harvey Hall, and Black Patty. Black Patty was a...
I couldn't even tell you were speaking English just now. What did you just say?
Black Patty
uh-huh.
is a record label. This was named after a opera black singer known as Black Patty. And she made a couple records around 1910.
Can we see that record?
Yeah, sure. We can get it right out. I know where that is. let's see. At least it should be. Here it is.
Oh, that's pretty.
Isn't that beautiful? Let me slide it out. This is probably the rarest blues record I have. It might be the rarest blues record in the world.
Purple label with kind of a gold peacock along the top of it there.
They were sold for a period of 7 months in 1927, and that was it.
Seven months. Complete flop. How many were pressed?
This, maybe 1,000 or less.
And this is the only...
The only ones ever turned up.
Can we listen to it?
Yeah. Let me see what this needle does here one time.
He put it on in light. Well, he put it to Chicago town with a 10-bed pocket knife. And it goes like a leaf. Like this to Billy, how can it be? You rest a man just as bad as me, but you won't rest like a leaf. And it goes like a leaf.
This is the Stag-a-Lee Blues, a song about a murder which African Americans have been singing for generations. In the 1920s, when this song was made, music companies blatantly labeled black music race records, as you can see when you look at the old dust jackets and posters that decorate the paneled walls of Joe Bissart's basement. Nearby hang the jackets of other record labels you never heard before. Timely Tunes, Puritan Record, Electra Disc. When Bassard plays the records that he found in those sleeves, he hears the sermons of country preachers, the routines of comic performers, bluegrass tunes about drinking and cheating, and one of the original country hits by the Carter family.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten our way. If we keep on the sunny side of life.
You got a catalog here of people's lives from the 20s and 30s, their culture and their vices and everything else, don't you?
It's our music. This is the truest form you ever hear in American music is on these records. It's put there and it's remained there for 70 years. It's not changed. Everything changes. Everything's modern. Too fast. It's a shame, but I'd say times changed or things changed for the better, but I don't know. I disagree with
them. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day, it will brighten all our way, if we keep on the sunny side of life.
1928, huh?
Yeah. Beautiful. You want another one?
Actually, let's
you
want to
talk about
it?
You got me warmed up now. So I start playing records. I don't want to stop.
Yeah, I hear you. Now, I did warn you that it might be harder to leave this basement than it was to come in. Joe Bassard just might be willing to play all 25,000 of his records if you let him. Still, it's way past lunchtime. We have another appointment, 50 miles away. But just as we break for the stairs, something magical happens. Joe Bassard grabs a guitar, sits on the couch, and lays that instrument flat across his lap. Then he grabs a screwdriver, and he starts using it as a slide, changing notes by drawing the screwdriver's steel shaft along the strings.
Something ain't right.
We're not going anywhere. We're hearing the music on those old records brought to life.
Why do you sit your doze on me, your doze on me?
Our visit to Joe Bassard's basement was recorded by Neil T. Vault and produced by Petra Mayer. And if you want to hear more of Joe Bassard's collection, you can go to our website at npr.org. From NPR News, that's all 78's considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.
There you go.